Hello and welcome to Carl's Coaching. We're glad that you're here. Glad that you came along with us. We just got to be honest. We don't know what we're doing at all here. And we only have one microphone, so it may or may not turn out like anything, but we're glad that you at least took some time to listen to this. This is Carl's Coaching, and this is from our blog and from the now podcast. And so we hope it comes out okay. We hope that you enjoy listening to it. Like I said, we don't know what we're doing. We're going to do the best we can. But hopefully this is kind of a conversation. And hopefully we can share some of our life with you. And as we struggle along in the journey, that you'll gain something from that. Or maybe it'll bless you in some way or help challenge you in some way to where you and we can grow together. It's always our hope. It's always been our focus for many, many years. And so we hope that we can do that tonight. I also wanted to introduce you to Laura. This is my wife, Laura.
Hey. I just want to tell you a little bit about us. We've been married almost 30 years, and we have three grown children and one granddaughter. We do have a son who lives overseas in Taiwan who teaches English, and a daughter who lives in Kansas City, and so that's where our granddaughter is. And then we have another daughter who's married and lives in Lincoln, Nebraska. So our kids are spread out a little bit, some more than others, one more than others. But thanks to technology, we have a chance to really stay in touch with all of them. So yeah, this is just a little bit about our journey, I suppose. I have my own journey, and Carl has his own journey, but we definitely have a journey together. And so I'm just grateful that he has this platform for us to share with you, and maybe some of it will resonate with you. And we sure would like to open up some conversations with other people who may be on the same type of journey or path that we are, people who have questions, and questions are good. So anyway, I guess I'll just open it up to you, Carl, and see if you can tell everyone a little bit about this journey that you're on.
The title of this is A Road Less Traveled. I got that title from my daughter, who has a tattoo that says that. And it's called the start of my third journey. And really the first journey was when I was born, I guess, and grew up, started my career, and then went into the ministry. About 20 years ago, I guess, is when my second journey started, that second major journey of my life. That was when I told my pastor that I thought God wanted me to be a pastor. My very first assignment was for him to say, you know, you need to find out what you believe. And he asked me to look at the impeccability of Christ. Basically, that has to do with whether Christ could have sinned or couldn't have sinned. And so before I knew it, I was debating the concept with people and drawing diagrams and proving my point. And I blamed that part of my personality on my grandpa Joe. And kind of in following with that tradition, I passed that on to a couple of my children that love to discuss ideas and love to debate and get discouraged when they can't find someone that will discuss ideas with them. I think debating and discussing ideas can be a positive thing. We don't really have enough good discussion anymore. Unfortunately, most of Christianity has become about being certain about what we believe. And this often leads to an intense need to be right. If we're careful, I think, though, we confuse God with our thoughts about God. We trade our faith and our trust in God for a concise set of beliefs that are either handed down to us or contrived in our own minds. So we know that our minds are limited, but we find ourselves trusting our own thinking more than the Spirit of God, who is able to guide us into all truth. So somewhere along the way, I developed a phrase, and I'm glad that this phrase came into my life. And I began to say as I was preaching or teaching or discussing with people, I would say, you know, I just have a suspicion that I might be wrong. And I believe that's healthy. I believe that's a healthy way to approach any belief system. If my doctrine can't stand up to questioning, then it's not a very reliable belief system. Unfortunately, most of our Christianity cries out, don't ask questions, just believe, just be certain. It's similar to our political discussions that go something like, I'm right, you're wrong, now sit down, or leave if you don't like it, things like that. So for some time, God's been drawing me into a different direction. And little by little, my beliefs have changed. My experiences and interactions with the Bible have drawn me to feel stronger about certain things and less certain about other things. Again, certainty is not necessarily the goal, but some things were just impossible to defend anymore. I can't ignore them like they're not there. And this led me kind of to a crisis point, or whatever you want to call it, to where I knew some things had to change.
So I know, like, part of my journey in this, along with you, just growing up in a background, a religious background of certainty, that starting to question, I guess, use doubt if you want to use that word, but starting to question left me pretty uneasy, almost scared. So did you feel the same way? And if so, like, how did you counter that? How did you counter those feelings of uncertainty, which is actually a good thing to have, but how did you reconcile that in your mind and be okay with not knowing everything?
I think that uncertainty can be very frightening. I think especially when you're in a tradition that says you've got to be sure, you got to know what you believe, and you got to be able to defend it. And if that system breaks down, then it gets frightening. I think it can be very scary. But I think what happened over time is just becoming more and more uncomfortable with having to defend things that I really didn't believe. And as those things became more uncomfortable, it kind of moved me away, or gave me the impetus to move forward and to investigate change.
So what were some of those things that you were questioning? What are some of those beliefs that you maybe perhaps grew up with, or even learned in seminary, that you are now finding difficult to believe?
And so I think one of the things that really just was harder and harder to believe was the idea of an angry God, idea that we had this God who demanded retribution. He was a true retributive God, where when I looked at Christ, I saw a more a saving God, a gentle God, a meek God, a God that wasn't retributive, but was more restorative. And I think that was where God was leading me. But so some of the things that I began to change or began to see, I think first of all was that I needed to find a more Christ-like God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Paul said, in him, meaning Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So to answer the question, what is God like? And if I look at the Old Testament, I look at the New Testament, I say, what is God like? What is God like is answered when we look at the life of Jesus. So God is exactly like Jesus. And when Jesus says things like, love your enemies, and Father, forgive them, and turn the other cheek, then we can take that to the bank. That's what God is like. And more I had to look at that, a more Christ-like God. But I also needed to take a more honest look at Scripture. My professor always told me to let the clear interpret the unclear. And what was very clear was the picture of God that I saw in Jesus. That was very clear. He even summarized all the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, into a simple set of commands when he said, love God and love others. Unfortunately, that brings into question the notion of an angry God and creates some conflict that I've always been comfortable before dismissing. But that's okay. I can still trust God while I'm sorting it out in a way that brings peace that I haven't had in a long time. So it's important to understand that, especially those origin books, Genesis through Judges, that were written by tribal people with very primitive views about God or gods, including their God, even how they interacted with humans and how they saw God. It's also important to realize that the Bible can still be a revelation from God and not be 100% historically accurate. We can't try to make the Bible behave in a way that it was never intended to. Jesus, who is the Word of God, must be the lens through which we interpret Scripture. And I consider it a mistake to dismiss the example of Jesus to prove what we want the Bible to say or what we think it says in the Old Testament and other places. It also, over time, I think, have developed a more loving attitude, more loving lifestyle. Our world has become very dualistic. Our political views are more polarized than we've ever been. We've lost the ability to debate and discuss ideas. We vote simply party lines, and even if those choices violate our core beliefs, unfortunately, it's evident in our churches also. There's an us against them, and that's kind of the norm. It's not the exception. We pay kind of lip service to love and grace, but the way we treat people groups, the way we treat animals, the environment, all of those things don't reflect the ideals that Jesus taught. So I've been devoting the second half of my life to being more kind to the whole world. It's not my job to punish those I disagree with. It's my responsibility to love them. But also, I have the responsibility to avoid cruelty to animals in my mind, in my belief. And for multiple reasons, we have decided, Laura and I have as a couple, against eating animal products. We believe that's just the most responsible thing we can do for our temple and for God's creation. So we also do everything we can to protect the physical world God has placed us in. And I know it's not going to last forever in its current form anyhow, but I don't believe I have permission to misuse or destroy that. But the last thing that changed was just to have a more contemplative approach. I wanted to get back to a relationship with God. And I no longer want to defend a denominational group or a religious belief system. I don't think Jesus started a religion. I think he started a revolution. And he challenged us to a deeper relationship. So I want to live in that spirit of that revolution and that relationship. I want to be part of a relationship with the Trinity, just like the Trinity experiences within itself. Jesus never said, agree to this belief system. Instead, it's kind of like Bob Goff says. He said, let's just go do stuff together. And that's kind of what our life looks like right now, is Laura and myself and the Trinity. We're just doing stuff together and loving it.
So what kind of things, people, books, podcasts, whatever, what kind of things do you do now or do you focus on now that help clarify and strengthen this new belief system, if you will? I mean, your belief in Jesus and God and Holy Spirit has not changed. Do you still believe those things? But what types of things have strengthened this part of your journey and helping you understand a more loving God, a more Christ-like God?
Yeah, to start off with, there was a few books that I read early on. One of those was by Brian Zahn, who's a pastor of Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And that book was called Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God, as opposed to the famous sermon that Sinners in the Hands of a Angry God. And that had a pretty big impact on me. I also read Peter Enns' book, The Bible Tells Me So and The Sin of Certainty, that helped me understand what I was struggling with in interpreting the scriptures. And then another book that had a big impact was A More Christ-Like God by Brad Jerzak, and many, many others, Richard Rohr and N.T. Wright, and several books have been instrumental. But I think also just the time to spend alone with God in prayer and not necessarily praying or telling him anything, but more than anything, just to be alone with God and to think. I've also started to write again, which helped me clarify my thoughts. And we've really been blessed by our church that we're attending, with Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And I think also that, Laura, you have helped me by just being on the journey with me. And we get to do a lot of fun things together now that we're empty nest. But I'd say those things helped a lot.
So what would you suggest or tell someone who might be questioning, wondering, or even doubting some of the core beliefs that they've grown up with? I mean, just speaking from a personal standpoint, that was probably, you know, one of the hardest things for me, was just overcoming that initial fear, because for 50 plus years, you know, I've grown up with a certain belief system, but I've always known, or in my heart, that, you know, there was this discrepancy between God and Jesus, and yet, you know, being taught that they're the Trinity and three in one. And so there were just so many things that didn't make sense. And I think I just pushed them down. But, you know, if somebody were to come up to you and say, you know, I've got these questions, I've even got these doubts of, you know, this God that I've known all my life, how would you tell them, or what would you suggest to them as far as, you know, just words of wisdom or investigating a little bit further, I guess?
Yeah, and just personally, a couple of things. Number one, that I think, if God's a big enough God, then we ought to be able to ask him questions. We ought to be able to question our faith. I believe he can handle that, first of all. But the second thing is, I believe we've done all of ourselves a disservice by not allowing questions, not allowing things to be questioned, because we've created, at the worst, probably mental illness from that, but at the best, we've created just people who aren't growing, who form their beliefs maybe when they're 7 years old, or form their beliefs when they first come to know Christ, and then never grow because they never question. They've never investigated their faith, or you know, study to show yourself approved. I think there's lots of verses you could go to where it seemed, especially to that first century Jewish mind, that it was okay to question. And it was even maybe more important than stating your beliefs and defending those beliefs. What was more important was to ask questions of the scripture. To say, what else does God have to teach us? And how better can I understand my world? I think questioning is just a part of the way we're built. But it is frightening at first to step out of that, to step out of that certainty and into the life that you feel God is drawing you to.
I think with, you know, the way, I won't even say the way the world is today, because I feel like, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, the world is worse than it's ever been. But honestly, you know, sin has been around for a very long time. And I think just because of social media and things like that, we're just more aware of it, hyper aware of it, if you will. But I guess, you know, one thing I am grateful for is this generation coming up. Do you feel like they get it more? Do you know what I'm saying? Like they get just that loving God, that more Christ-like God. Do you feel like, you know, there's hope? I just always want to believe that, you know, as long as there's, you know, as long as there's God and the Holy Spirit in us, that there is always hope. And so tell me how you feel about this, the millennials or whatever they're called, this generation coming up.
Yeah, and believe it or not, that's not a scripted question, but there is, recently I wrote another blog, and the title is something like A Boomer's Journey with a Millennial or something like that, because we have three grown children that are in their young 20s. And I also believe that this is where they're going. And many of them are already on this journey. When I explained to some of my children about where I'm going in this journey, the vibe I got from them was kind of like, well, welcome aboard, or we're glad you're finally here. And we admire our children a lot and want to be like them, but I'm not doing this to please them. But I think they already understand this. This is already the journey they're on. It's the journey they're moving toward. And I think that gives me a lot of hope. And I know it's scary. And I know that also that generation is criticized a lot. But maybe we'll get to do a podcast about that blog one of these days soon.
Yes, hopefully. I know our children and just their generation has taught me a great deal. I always thought that I was a very compassionate person. And just as my children got older and just being around them and their friends, I saw a sweet spirit in them that I didn't have. And I knew I wanted that. And it's just so awesome to see them love and care about people, no matter what their faith, what their color, what their sexual orientation, it doesn't matter. So that was just a real beautiful thing that they taught me, and I'm really grateful for that. So, any other differences in this journey compared to the first part of your journey? Anything else you need to add to that?
I guess it's kind of like any other way that you heal or way that you learn and grow, it's kind of in layers, and it seems like you just get to a point where, wow, I didn't know I could be that happy, or I thought I was at peace, and now, wow, this is really peace. And so it's just kind of now looking forward and reading and studying. I'm spending some time in the Beatitudes right now and just trying to slow down and read and study and spend some time there to hear what Jesus had to say, maybe what I missed before.
I think that's the thing that a lot of people wonder about us, you know, that know that we're on this journey is, you know, are we going further away from God? But I, in all honesty, I've never read as much. I've never worshipped as hard, you know, and from a real spiritual standpoint. When we go to church, I just, you know, really being drawn in by the Holy Spirit. I haven't felt these things more deeply than I do right now. And I think, you know, it's not taken us away from God, but it's really drawn us in not only to God, but actually the just the divine dance. And that Father Richard Rohr wrote that book, and it was just so powerful, just the visual of we are being drawn in to Father, Son, and Spirit in that divine dance. And so if nothing else, I feel like my faith has been enriched, and it's been become much deeper. Would you agree with that as far as your particular, like I said, you're on your journey, I'm on my journey, but we're on this journey together. So there is a very personal story to me and my journey, and I feel that for me. Would you say you feel the same way? I mean, being a pastor for so many years, you know, people think, oh, well, pastors are always studying and they're in the Word, so they must really be filled with the Spirit or really have this incredibly intimate relationship with God. But I just, you know, I think sometimes we assume that, and it may not be true. So is that different on this part of your journey?
Yeah, the honest truth about being a pastor is it's easy to fake yourself out. And it's real easy to be doing a lot of things, be doing a lot of good things, but neglecting that relationship. And so, again, it's about fighting that urge just to defend beliefs and prove your point and preach to people. And at the same time, you can really be not growing, not becoming closer to God. And I think that over the last several years, that's what's been missing. And I've read more books in the last few weeks or the last few months than I have in many years, probably. And I know Laura feels the same. We're probably about out of time. Is there anything else that you need to say?
No, not really. We probably need to get to doing some yoga, though, which, you know, is a whole nother area that people are probably like, oh my goodness, they've gone off the deep end. But no, you can actually spend time with your hands together in prayer to the Father. So anyway, that's a real sweet time for me as well. So, but in closing, what would you have to say that would just kind of wrap this all up?
Yeah, I think I'd just like to say thank you for taking the time to just to listen tonight, to invest in our story. And I'd love for you to pray with us about our journey and for our journey. And if we can ever do anything to help you in your journey, it would be my pleasure and our pleasure to invest that time in you. But also, if you disagree with our conclusions, just praise God that we He gave us minds and we can and hearts to seek Him, and we can seek Him together, and we'll probably end up at the same point. We do have a gathering once a month at our house on the first Sunday night if you're in our area and would like to come. And you follow Carl's coaching, you'll probably find all of that stuff. Carl's coaching is at carlscoaching.com. It's with a K. Also on Twitter at Carl's Coaching. And my email is Carl with a K at Carl's Coaching, also with a K. And if you're interested in plant-based nutrition, we have a Facebook page called Four-Eyed Plant Eater that we'd love for you to take a look at. We're just glad for you to be along tonight, and we just hope you have a blessed and good day. Thanks.